Don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. We invite you to look with us in the book of Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, beginning at verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication, in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Verses 10 through 20, Ephesians chapter 6. Father, we thank you once again today for the gift, the wonderful gift of prayer. Thank you for the opportunity you give us of being able to come to you in prayer each and every day. Thank you for the fact that any day of the week, 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, you have an ear and listening ears for the prayers of your children. Thank you for the opportunity, Father, for us to seek you in prayer each and every day. Empower us to be the praying people, the praying church you've called us to be. Stir us more and more to be a people who live lives given to prayer as your Holy Spirit calls and encourages us to. And Father, more and more, make us wiser stewards of our time, gifts, and abilities, and make us much wiser stewards of the gift of prayer. We thank you, and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Our producer, Rick Robertson, is going to take time to pray for our broadcast today as we get started.
Father, we thank you for the opportunity to speak to the listeners today. And Father, we recognize that anything said has no power unless your precious Holy Spirit connects with it, Father. So we ask you to use what is said today, the scripture that's read, the things that are said today. We pray that you would use them in a mighty way in the lives of our dear listening family, whether it's someone who's listened for a long time or someone who's just scanned down the dial and stopped to listen. God, we pray that you would speak through Joseph and Victory in a mighty way, that you would stir hearts, that you would draw people to yourself through this broadcast. So we just commit this hour to you, Father. We pray you will use it in a way that brings you much honor, in a way that changes lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. And let me remind our listeners, too, we want to encourage you, don't miss the AFA Marriage, Family, and Life Conference 2020 coming up this year. It's a conference that can help strengthen your marriage and your family as you live faithfully for God in the culture, in a culture that seems to be trying to come against the Word and the will of God. This conference will provide practical training and ministry encouragement for Christians endeavoring to live out their faith in a hostile culture. The dates for the AFA's Marriage, Family, and Life Conference 2020 are June the 25th through the 27th here in Tupelo, Mississippi. The theme is In Defense of Truth. Some of the speakers include Dr. Frank Turek, Dr. Michael Brown, marriage and family expert Laura Petherbridge, Abraham Hamilton III, Dr. Alex McFarland, and several other outstanding speakers. If you can come and be a part of this, we certainly hope and encourage you to do that. Registration and more details are available at marriagefamilylife.net. Again, that's marriagefamilylife.net. The conference is a ministry of the American Family Association. We're blessed to have with us in studio today with us Victory Holifield. Victory, how are you today?
I'm blessed. How are you, Pastor Parker?
Oh, blessed. Thank you so much. And again, grateful for you standing in while we were away for a few days.
And you were missed.
We appreciate, again, you just letting the Lord use you as you did. And, of course, I know you did a great job. So thank you so much for standing in for us.
Yes, sir.
Today we're looking at a topic that, to me, I think it's a kind of a very basic topic to the Christian faith, but a very important one. We're looking specifically at the topic of praying for your prayer life. Now, the reason I mention that is because the reason that topic is important is because the fact is, as believers, I think it's very helpful for us to understand, Victory, that of all the different sides of our Christian life and our Christian walk, the devil will attack most ferociously probably your prayer life, maybe more so than your prayer life and your time in the Word of God, maybe more so than any other two things in your whole Christian walk.
I agree. I totally agree with that. I've never heard of someone praying for their prayer life until I met you, Pastor Parker. And I remember the first time I heard you say that, pray for your prayer life. I was like, what in the world? But you're right, because the enemy does attack it. And because he knows that that is one of our strongest weapons. Mm-hmm. That's how we get things done in the spiritual realm.
You know,
this natural realm.
That's a very important point. And, you know, Christ clearly tells us, he tells us, in fact, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17,
come on,
pray without ceasing. In other words, we're to live a lifestyle filled with prayer. And so, you know, we don't even really know how to do that without the help of the Holy Spirit.
Right.
And so the Bible says, ask and you receive, seek and you'll find, knock and the door will be open. So we need to pray for God to bless, to guide us and encourage us in our prayer life. And in fact, you know, in Matthew specifically, there was an occasion where one of the disciples just asked the Lord, teach us to pray.
Mm-hmm.
And he taught them the Lord's Prayer. Well, of course, now, I think it's good for us to know the Lord Jesus taught his 12 disciples that prayer, but he taught it to all the rest of us as well.
Absolutely.
But I think it's a wonderful example of a very important truth. We need help in knowing how to pray correctly and effectively as well.
I love that you brought that up, because Jesus also was our example. He would go away. Also, Matthew 6:6, where it says, go into your closet. You know, we need to close that door, get away. And because a lot of times what ends up happening, we end up venting and sharing it with our spouse or our friends, or, you know, someone else, when our most talking that we need to do is with God. I can see why 1 Thessalonians says pray without ceasing, because there's always things going on in our lives, and he's the one that is our helper and that can help us with that. And that's why he gave us prayer. We can go come boldly to the throne of grace at that. Thank God for Jesus.
Help. That's right. To find help in time of need.
Mm-hmm.
You know, scripture that touches on what you just mentioned as well. Mark chapter 1, verse 35 says, and it's, of course, it's an illustration from the life of Jesus. Mark chapter 1, verse 35 says, now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed. And, of course, it's talking about Jesus himself. And, again, listen to the details of what it says, because it points out he had a very prescribed prayer life, the way he did it, where he did it as well. Again, verse Mark 1:35, now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed. Now, you know, certainly, you know, as we just mentioned, the scripture that says pray without ceasing, we're to live in a prayer mode all the time.
Yeah.
But at the same time, we all need a time set aside to where we try to get rid of all the distractions, the time we spend time one-on-one talking to God, mm-hmm, and listening to God as well. We all need that. Now, remember, Jesus is God and he's the Son of God. In his humanness, though, he demonstrated to us the priority of prayer. And so we need to learn from his life. He
right.
made prayer a priority. You know, sometimes people may say, well, I'm just so busy. I just don't have time to pray. Well, you know, that's really kind
excuse.
Of a dumb thing to say. We have time for what we choose to do. You know, we have time for what we put first, whatever that may be. Jesus got up early in the morning before other folks were stirring.
Still dark.
Went off and spent time one-on-one with God. And so we're wise to do the same thing.
Yes, we are. And honestly, when people, and let's be honest, I've made those excuses as well of, well, I'm doing this and da-da-da. What it showed, and I'm so grateful for the Holy Spirit, was, Victory, you don't fully love God like you say you do. Because when we love God, we're going to show it through our actions. Just like when you're in love and you're married, when you say that you love someone, you're going to show it with how you act towards them. So if we say we love God, we're going to discipline ourselves and make this flesh cooperate and spend time with him in prayer and through his word.
That's right. That's right. And I think of two, and I want to ask your thoughts on this as well, but you know, the scripture we read at the beginning broadcast, Ephesians 6. Now, of course, obviously it's talking about spiritual warfare. It's important that we understand prayer is a critical part of spiritual warfare as well. You know, sometimes I recall once I wrote an article some time ago about violent prayers. That was the title of it. And, you know, it's important to know, too, prayer, amongst other things, is a weapon that we use to do to battle against the kingdom of darkness, to battle against Satan and the forces of darkness as well. Right. And so prayer is a violent weapon against darkness.
Mm-hmm.
But I recall one person commented they felt like that's an inappropriate word for prayer. Well, they failed to really understand the seriousness of it.
Talking about the violent part?
The use of the word violent. Oh. They didn't like the idea of using that word in relation to prayer. Well, the reality is much of life is violent.
Right. Come on, Pastor
Parker. The Bible says the thief comes not before to steal, to kill, and to destroy. There's so many ways in which spiritual warfare is happening all around us. We think of the school shootings. We think of the tragedy of abortion. We think of kidnappings and all sorts of terrible things that are done amongst people. Human trafficking. Those are violent things going on in the world, and it takes believers having the attitude of doing violence to the kingdom of darkness when it comes to our effective prayer life. So we need to see it that way.
Pastor Parker, honestly, it's funny that someone said that to you because it reminds me of some people who don't like to say Holy Ghost because ghost is scary. Say Holy Spirit. I love that you brought that up because those examples that you just gave as far as violence that's going on in the world, like I don't think people realize that there's a lot of violence in scripture. You know what I mean? And that we are, this is serious. This is warfare. And we've got to take it aggressively when it comes to prayer. Like, ain't nobody got time for this. I got to pray on this. And we need to have a desire. I know I said ain't. Y'all, I can speak correctly, I promise. But we need to grow and be more vigorous when it comes to prayer. I wanted to share this story. I've been with Pastor Parker and Miss Birdie, his lovely bride, to their church. And there were a few times I would go to the events that you guys will hold for life for the babies. And anyway, the point I was going to make, I'll never forget there was one in particular time because you literally live out what you share on the air. And y'all just started praying. You were like, Victor, we're going to take some time to pray. And I mean, you were just praying. And that to me, it shows how we are to pray without ceasing. Because I think when people think of that verse, they're like, so I'm supposed to pray all the time. And I love how you made the distinction. There is the Matthew 6:6 of going into the closet, but then there's praying throughout the day. When somebody crosses your mind, taking time to pray. When something happens at work, like taking time to pray.
And you know, again, you make some excellent points as it relates to that. We need the help of the Lord Jesus Christ, the help of the Holy Spirit to teach and tutor us in becoming more effective in our prayer life. That's why we're wise to pray for our prayer life specifically. So I'm going to ask Victor, if you'll take a moment now specifically to pray for the prayer life of all of our listeners, and pray that we will pray ourselves for our prayer lives as well.
I'd be happy to. Father, I'm so thankful for what Jesus did on the cross. And it's because of what he did that we can come boldly to your throne of grace, Lord, and pray and speak with you, Lord, and commune with you. Father, I just pray for every person that's listening right now. I pray for myself and Pastor Parker and Rick as well. And I just ask, Lord, that you will move us to another glory in prayer. Your word says in 2 Corinthians 3 that we can move from glory to glory in Christ Jesus. And I do believe that also contributes to prayer. I ask that you would give us a hunger and thirst, Lord, a hunger and thirst for your word and to pray to you, Lord, like nobody's business, Lord. Jesus is such an example to us of how he got up when it was still dark to pray. And Father, even in Psalm 63, it says, early will I seek thee. So I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, Victory. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession as we're looking today at the topic, praying for your prayer life. We'll be right back.
Lord, a nation have totally forsaken you. Oh, Lord, forgive us. Heal our land as we turn our faces back toward you.
The music of Fred Hammond, If My People. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. We're looking today at the topic of praying for your prayer life. And my co-host today in studio is Victory Holofield as we look at this very, very important topic. Father, thank you, Lord, again for every single listener. And thank you for the body of Christ. More and more, Father, empower us to be believers that are wise enough to make prayer a priority and teach us to make prayer the priority you've called us to make in our lives. And Lord, anoint us with the spirit of prayer whereby we will pray for our prayer lives. Yes. Lord, Father, bless each of our prayer lives indeed. Expand its territory. Cause your hand to be mightily upon it. Keep it from evil that it may not cause pain. Anoint us afresh with the spirit of prayer and intercession. Help us to grow tremendously in our understanding of the need for us to make prayer one of the high priorities in our lives as disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us, Lord, to learn that we're called to walk in an intimate relationship with you every single day. And then as we lean upon you, your Holy Spirit, our divine tutor, will teach us and empower us to do it. Thank you for the opportunity to walk with you in prayer on each and every day. We thank you. We praise you in Jesus' name. We do pray. Amen.
Amen.
Well, again, Victory, we're looking at the topic of praying for our prayer lives. And, you know, over the last couple of days, we actually had a recording of Peggy Joyce Ruth, the author of the book entitled Psalm 91, God's Shield of Protection. She's written actually several different books. And she's a very gifted teacher. And she teaches about the wisdom and the insight found in Psalm 91. And she really encourages believers to pray Psalm 91 every single day. And I'm with her on that. I encourage believers to pray it every
yes,
day as
do.
Well. Now, that is another example of a violent prayer, violent to the kingdom of darkness, mm-hmm. because that's a prayer whereby you can beat back demons and demonic influence that would try to come to steal, kill, and to destroy in your life in different ways. And so, without question, Psalm 91 is a violent prayer, violent to the kingdom of darkness, that is, specifically.
Right.
I'm going to take a moment now specifically to pray Psalm 91 prayer. And let me say to all of our listeners, again, my email is jparker@afa.net. Again, that's jparker@afa.net. If you'd like to get a copy of the Psalm 91 prayer or any of the kingdom prayers that we share, prayers that come straight from Scripture or that are based on Scripture, we would be glad to email those to you because we want you to put them to work in your life. And we want to encourage you to share them with family, friends, fellow church members, and any and everyone else that the Lord puts on your heart to share them with. So again, that email is jparker@afa.net. We're going to take time now to pray Psalm 91. Lord, today we dwell in the secret place of the Most High, and so we abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, you are my refuge and my fortress. My God, in you do we trust. Surely you deliver us from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. You cover us with your feathers, and under your wings do we trust. Your truth is our shield and buckler. And so we are not afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flies by day, nor for the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor for the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at our side and 10,000 at our right hand, but it shall not come near us. Only with our eyes shall we look and see the reward of the wicked. Because we have made the Lord our refuge, even the Most High our habitation, no evil shall befall us, nor does any plague come near our dwelling. For you give your angels charge over us to keep us in all our ways. They bear us up in their hands, lest we dash a foot against a stone. We tread upon the lion and the cobra. The young lion and the serpent we trample underfoot. Because we have set our love upon you, therefore you deliver us. You set us on high because we have known your name. We call upon you and you answer us. You are with us in trouble. You deliver us and honor us with long life. You satisfy us and show us your salvation. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.
Amen.
Again, Victor, do you see how that is a violent prayer against the kingdom
of darkness?
Yes, it
is. Pastor Parker, I want to say, maybe you're listening, because there are times, and I love this about Pastor Parker. You always encourage people to pray, Psalms 91, to pray, period. And I love that. And maybe you're listening and you're like, man, I need to get on it. Because even now I'm listening, I haven't been consistently on it. And I'm reading this and I'm like, man, I got to get back on this, praying Psalms 91, because it is a violent prayer, because we wrestle not against flesh and blood, like you read earlier.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think of this just early today. I heard radio commentary talking about Sandy on the radio this morning, and she was talking about the tragedy that happened back in Las Vegas a couple years ago, the shooting where a man killed over 50 people, the mass shooting. Well, again, it's a reminder that the thief comes not before to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Mm-hmm. None of those people, when they went to that concert that day, had any idea that they were going to die that day, that the devil would come to try to steal their lives through an act of violence, an act of terrorism, basically, really. Well, we live in a world that's just violent in so many ways. But praise God, we serve a big and a great God. And when we learn to put our prayer life to work in an aggressive way, God will both use us and he'll work through us, and also he'll provide protection and help in time of need as we learn how to put our faith to work. He says, ask and you receive, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be open. But we have our part to play.
I have a question, Pastor Parker, because
yes,
my daddy always says, sometimes the question you have, somebody else may have. My question is, because there are a lot of times I'm like, there's so many things I need to pray about. There's so many people I need to intercede for. And I'm like, God, what order should I go? Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know. I'll take a route and go this route. But then I'm like, man, I forgot to pray about this person or pray about this situation. Mm-hmm. Like, sometimes I feel bombarded because I'm like, there's so many things that needs prayer.
Mm-hmm. Well, again, I think that's one more reason why we're wise to pray for our prayer life, because Holy Spirit orchestrates. He gives us wisdom, guidance. He is a divine tutor. He teaches us about prayer as well. You know, we're wise to pray in the Spirit every single day. The Holy Spirit prays, can help us to pray as we learn to pray in the Spirit as well. But also, you know, there's such a need for us to set time aside to pray more.
Right.
You know, the fact is, sadly, for many believers, prayer is something they may do, you know, maybe 5 minutes before they're out the door in the morning, which is better than nothing.
Mm.
But now it's important for us to have time, like Jesus, our great example. He got up early in the morning and went off and spent probably hours in prayer. Now, there are many believers who may think, I don't see how I could possibly spend hours in prayer. Well, just start with a segment of time that you can work with and ask God to help you increase it. Maybe start with 10, 15 minutes it need be, but ask God to help you increase it. Because the fact is, when we pray, amongst other things, we're inviting Jesus into the affairs and the concerns of our lives. You know, I think of in John chapter 2, I like to share this very important passage. It's a great example. Now, the passage itself doesn't talk about prayer per se, but it's actually a powerful lesson about prayer. This is John chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. It says, on the third day there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Now, both Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding. And when they ran out of wine, the mother of Jesus said to him, they have no wine. Jesus said to her, woman, what does your concern have to do with me? My hour has not yet come. His mother said to the servants, whatever he says to you, do it. Now there were set there 6 water pots of stone, according to the manner of purification of the Jews, containing 20 or 30 gallons apiece. Jesus said to them, "Fill the water pots with water," and they filled them up to the brim. And he said to them, "Draw some out now and take it to the master of the feast." And they took it. When the master of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine and did not know where it came from, but the servants who had drawn the water knew, the master of the feast called the bridegroom, and he said to him, "Every man at the beginning sets out the good wine, and when the guests have well drunk, then the inferior. You have kept the good wine until now." That was verses 1 through 10, John chapter 2. Well, something very powerful about this passage that shares some great insight about prayer is that it doesn't specifically say who, but it was probably the groom, but somebody was wise enough to invite Jesus to the wedding. Mm. Verse 2 specifically says, "Now both Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding." Now, it very specifically points that out. Now, notice in verse 1, it mentions that Jesus' mother came, but it doesn't say she was invited. Now, it doesn't mean she wasn't, but notice what it does say. "On the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there." But verse 2, "Now both Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding." Now, I think one of the reasons why the scripture is very specific here is because somebody invited Jesus to the wedding. Through prayer, we invite Jesus into the concerns, the affairs, the events of our lives. If we're wise, we'll invite him to everything. But you know, some people, they every once in a while, they invite Jesus into things they do. But if we're wise, we invite him into our day, our family. We invite him into every event we go to, everything we do, because there's not a place where it's inappropriate for Jesus to be in our life. At least there shouldn't be.
Right.
Because Jesus should permeate everything in life. So it's through prayer that we invite Jesus in, and we need to be wise enough to do that.
And I'm going to say this. Some people may look at you crazy because I'm a stepmom, and so we're still learning the navigation of being blended. And there have been times, kid you not, where we've been into some heated conversations or I've been correcting in some sort, and all of a sudden I'll just say, "Help me, Holy Spirit, help me." Because, you know, he's our helper. Jesus said, "I'm going to send you an helper." Mm-hmm. Right there. That is a form of prayer. I'm asking him to help me. And now, of course, my bonus baby looked at me like I was crazy, but I kid you not. The Lord helped me with my words on what to say and how to articulate, and it just changed everything. So I think that's another form of violently praying right there. And because we need him, and that's how we commune with him, is through prayer.
That is so true. So true. I know on occasions where, you know, in a pastoral setting, like when I'm preaching or teaching, I talk about, for example, young folks, maybe when they go out on a date, to pray on a date. And, you know, sometimes people think, well, that's kind of inappropriate, isn't it? Well, see, sadly, we too often think that way. If a young man or young woman chooses to pray on a date, if that scares the date off, good riddance. Mm. Because the fact is, you want Jesus in everything. And now, on the other hand, the right kind of people will be drawn to you.
Right.
Because young man or young woman that's scared off because you talked to Jesus,
come
again
on,
it was a good way to weed them out, you know. But on the other hand, people who recognize that, number one, we need Jesus in everything, they'll often think to themselves, that's the kind of man or woman I'm interested in, because they love Jesus, they want God to be a part of their lives. So there's not an inappropriate place or time for inviting Jesus through prayer into what you're doing or what you're involved in.
I love that you brought that up, because when I was in college, I've always, and I didn't do it for a show, when someone say, "How are you?" I would always say, "I'm blessed." And I kid you not, there were many times when guys would approach me, and it lure the wolves from the sheep. And I'm so blessed that I have my husband now. But yeah, that's true, because prayer, I feel like it protects you and shields you as well. There we go, Psalms 91, from those who mean you harm. From those who won't be a benefit in your life, a blessing, let me put it that way.
And you know, I think of too, like Psalm 91 alludes to this, you know, like amongst other things, when you pray, God always answers prayer by the power of the Holy Spirit, always. But often he'll use angels as well.
Right.
And so we all have angels that are assigned to us. But, you know, the reality is how active a person's angels are directly related to their prayer life.
Hebrews 1:14.
You know, right. If an angel can get bored, some people have bored angels because they don't pray enough. And the fact is, again, prayer puts angels to work because, again, God dispatches them in accordance to our prayer lives. You know, I think of this in the book of Job. It's interesting how that, like, it talks about the sons of God coming before God early in the morning. And you may recall the story in the book of Genesis when Jacob is wrestling with the angel. He wrestles with him through the night, but the angel has to go at daybreak. Where does he have to go? He has to report to God, because angels report to God every morning for assignments. Well, the reality is, it's important to know too, angels have assignments every day directly related to the prayers of God's people. So as we pray a lot, by the grace of God, angels get put to work. And so it's good for a believer to have lots of angels working on their behalf. And so the more you pray, the more that happens. Mm. And remember, God answers prayer the way he chooses to. He may use an angel, he may not, but he always uses the Holy Spirit. But the important thing is, pray so that God's work and will can and will get done.
And I'm reminded in James, I believe, where it says, when we draw near to him, he draws near to us. Mm-hmm. And it does bring you, you'll begin to have a closer relationship to the Lord, and you'll start knowing his voice. Jesus said that my sheep know my voice. And the only way we can know his voice is through his word and through prayer. Because I want to know my Father's voice. I want to be led by him.
You know, that's a great point, you know, because the more you pray, the more the volume of the Holy Spirit's voice gets louder and louder in your life. So that's a good point to look at as well. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. We look at the topic of praying for your prayer life. Our co-host today is Victory Holofield. We'll be right back.
Our Father, which art in heaven, yeah, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. God, please deliver us from evil. Oh, please deliver.
Music from the Walls Group, The Prayer. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. My co-host today is Victory Holofield as we look at the topic of praying for your prayer life. Let me remind you once again, please do email us at jparker@afa.net, and we want to send you the prayer tool we call Kingdom Prayers. We'd be glad to send it to you. We want to encourage you to take it and use it. It's about 10 specific prayers that either come straight from Scripture or that are based on Scripture. And we'd encourage you, it doesn't take but just a few minutes to pray through them, but it's a very fruitful thing to do, because remember, the Word of God is the will of God. And when you pray the Word of God, you're praying the will of God as well. And when you pray God's Word, God answers that prayer. So we'd encourage you to email us, jparker@afa.net. We'd be glad to send it to you. Victory, I think of this truth, you know, it's been said that when we work, but when we pray, God works. So we're wise to recognize that wise believers will pray, again, as Scripture says, we'll seek to pray without ceasing, mm-hmm. live a life full of prayer.
I love when you say that, when we pray, God works, because that is so true. When I think about praying, I noticed the more word that I study and meditate on, mm-hmm. my prayer life does, it enhances my prayer time. Right. And also there was something Evangelist Hurtis seen, which I'm sure she has said with you as well. One mm-hmm. thing she also does in her prayer closet is she gets quiet before the Lord so she can hear from him. Mm-hmm. So it's a combination of talking and praying, as well as a combination of getting quiet before him to hear him, mm-hmm. to get direction.
And you're exactly right. And I think of this, too. I think a very helpful truth to be mindful of, too, is like in Psalm 119, verse 105, it says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Now, something that I think is very good for believers to grasp is that the reading and studying of the word of God is a form of prayer. It's a form of communing with God and staying in close fellowship with God as well. And so reading the word and prayer, you know, John Wesley, I really like the term he would use. His word for spiritual disciplines was means of grace. And that makes a powerful, it makes a powerful point, because that's exactly what they are. Remember, we cannot earn grace. There's nothing we can do to deserve mm-hmm. grace. Christ, when he came, lived, and he died on the cross and rose again from the dead, he made it abundantly available to us. But there are things we can do to sort of, you might say, make withdrawals from our grace account.
Right.
It's through our prayer life that we can make a withdrawal from our grace account. Mm. Time in the Word, a way to make a withdrawal from your grace account. Obedience, all of these are means of grace. And so his word for spiritual disciplines, I think, is a better term than the term spiritual disciplines, because they are means of grace.
Means of grace.
And so as believers, we're wise to spend time reading and meditating on the Word of God, because, of course, that feeds our spirit.
Right.
But also, prayer is both listening to God and it's talking to God. So when you're reading and studying the Word of God, it's heavy on the listening. God is talking to us.
Right.
And we need to remember this, that, you know, prayer is talking to God and listening to God. But if you ask yourself the question, what's more important, for me to talk or me to listen? Well, God's words are much more important than ours are. So we need to know we must be diligent students of Scripture. We're wise to fill our lives with Scripture. And, you know, there's no inappropriate place to read or to quote Scripture. But sadly, we have many people or instances or institutions that will act the basic. In fact, sometimes some places will say, don't bring a Bible here. You're not supposed to have a Bible on your desk.
Mm.
But sadly, it's important to understand. And these are all spiritual warfare issues. Remember, God is the creator of the universe. The word of God is his word. How in the world can there be an inappropriate place for the creator of the universe to speak? There's really no such thing.
Right.
But sadly, we live in a world where the devil tries to keep God out of all kinds of things. He wants to keep God out of schools.
Oh my
out
goodness.
Of government institutions.
Yeah.
But the fact is, we need God to permeate everything we do.
Mm-hmm.
And so through our prayer lives and our time of reading and studying the Word of God, the Holy Spirit teaches us to allow, to invite God into everything we commit to him in prayer.
Right. And why would you not want to, especially specifically if you claim to be a believer, why would you not want to have God in every aspect of your life? We need him, because mm-hmm. we're some knuckleheads. I love earlier in devotion the other day. Dirk, our HR, when he was talking about we're sheep and how sheep are dumb and they need direction, and we are. I know some people may be listening, you're like, well, I have a degree, I'm smart. But no, you're really dumb. We all are, and we need the help of the Lord. And that's the purpose of prayer.
We need a lot of help.
Why should one pray? Mm-hmm. Why should one have a desire to pray?
Well, you know, the reality is we like the idea of thinking I'm strong and independent.
Ooh.
But in reality,
that's true.
We're to be heavily dependent on God.
Right.
And a wonderful example is, remember, Jesus is God and the Son of God, but Jesus didn't do anything apart from his Father.
Mm.
He was heavily dependent on his Father for everything. And if we're wise, we're going to follow in Jesus' footsteps. We're going to lean heavy on God all the time.
Right.
Why? Because we need a lot of help.
Man.
And so we're wise to understand that it's not a weak or unwise thing to depend on God. It's wise. And in fact, it's the way we're supposed to live, heavily dependent on the mm-hmm. Spirit of God all the time.
Man, I I strongly just can't emphasize enough. Maybe you're listening right now and you're like, I just don't have that desire. I want it. That's when you pray. Like Pastor Parker's been saying, pray for your prayer life. Pray and ask the Lord to give you a desire and a want to pray and to get into his word. Because we do wrestle in this world against, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and rulers in dark places. And those rulers are wanting to prevent us from prayer. That crying baby, or I got to get to the gym. I don't have a baby, but the gym, I've used that as an excuse before. Or I got to get some rest. I got to meal prep. You know, all these excuses. But if I say I love God, I'm going to make him my number one priority.
That's right. That's right. And, you know, I think of too that it's so important for us to understand that, like, for example, when we pray the Lord's Prayer, we're praying, amongst other things, for God's kingdom, God's work, and God's will to get done. You know, as believers, our lives are to be full of ministry. Mm-hmm. Yet, you know, sometimes as believers, we can pray very selfishly, just kind of, Lord, bless me and my stuff,
Come
my
on,
family, us four and no more. You know, the reality is we're to pray that God would use us to help people to come to know Christ, that he would use us to disciple others, that he would use us to be a blessing to those around us. And that should be a daily part of our prayer lives. And so, you know, one of the reasons why it's wise to pray the prayer of Jabez every day, it's a simple prayer, but a powerful prayer that basically helps us to become more and more fruitful vessels in the hands of God. Father, thank you for today. Bless me indeed. Expand my territory. Cause your hand to be mightily upon me. Keep me from evil that I may not cause pain. In Jesus' name, amen. A simple prayer, but a powerful kingdom prayer that helps you to become more and more fruitful in the hands of God. That's the way we're to pray daily, because we're not to pray selfishly. We're to pray in such a way that daily God will use us more and more to get his work and his will done.
And some people may not think that prayer works. It is freaky cool. Can I say that? I already said it. Like that prayer, legit, the prayer of Jabez really works, and the Lord will use you for his glory to be a blessing.
That is so true. That's so true. You know, and again, my email is jparker@afa.net. If you'd like to get a copy of the prayer tool we call Kingdom Prayers. It has several prayers that are either based on Scripture or that draw from Scripture. The first one is a prayer for salvation. Of course, if a person desires to be saved, they can simply pray that prayer. The second one is the Lord's Prayer, found in Matthew chapter 6. Then, as we mentioned, the prayer of Jabez. Then the fourth one is praying the Ten Commandments. Every believer would be wise to pray the Ten Commandments every single day, and it takes all of about maybe a minute and a half. It doesn't take long. But praying the Ten Commandments is a very wise thing to do each and every day. Parents, we should teach our children to pray the Ten Commandments every day as well. The fifth one, a prayer for wisdom. Like Solomon, he asked for wisdom, and we're wise to ask God for his wisdom to do what we're to do every single day. The sixth one is like Isaiah's prayer. Here I am, Lord. I'm available. Send me this day to do your will. And God will use you more and more when you pray a prayer like Isaiah's prayer. The seventh one is that prayer based on a simple prayer that the Apostle Paul prayed right after he got saved. After he got saved on the road to Damascus, he said, Lord, who are you? But then he prayed, Lord, what do you want me to do? That was a question and a prayer. It's a wise prayer to pray every day, because God has work, specific work for us each and every day. Then the eighth one is a prayer that was prayed by King Jehoshaphat when he was leading Israel at a very difficult time. Basically, his prayer was, Lord, we don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you. There are times in which sometimes you don't know what to do, but God always knows what to do, and we're wise to pray and ask for his help in time of need. Then, of course, Psalm 91. And then the last one, Aaron's prayer. It's a prayer based on Numbers chapter 6, verses 24 to 27. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. So they shall put my name on the children of Israel, and I will bless them. Again, that's Numbers 6, 24 through 27. You know, Victor, our time is just about gone. I'd like to share about a couple, real briefly, wonderful black history figures that are just outstanding examples. George Washington Carver, he was a great scientist, great agriculturist, but also he was a tremendous man of prayer. He was well-known. He's a well-known scientist who was born a slave, and he was credited with helping to save the agriculture of the South during his lifetime. He's a great example of a believer who listened to and communed with God, and he's a great example of a believer who followed and applied God's wisdom in his life as well. He would have the habit. He would get up early in the morning, and go out into the woods, and he talked to God, and he called God Mr. Creator. And there he would talk to God and ask God questions about agriculture and about plants. And, you know, there was a book written by a man named Glenn Park about Dr. George Washington Carver called The Man Who Talks with the Flowers. This is something Dr. Carver once stated. He said this, "There's literally nothing that I ever wanted to do that I asked the blessed Creator to help me to do that I've not been able to accomplish. It's all very simple if one knows how to talk with the Creator. It is simply seeking the Lord and finding Him. All my life, I've risen regularly at 4 o'clock and have gone to the woods and talked with God. There He gives me my orders for the day. When people are still asleep, I hear God best and learn my plan. After my morning talk with God, I go into my laboratory and begin to carry out His wishes for the day." And of course, God used Dr. George Washington Carver to find over 300 products from the peanut and I think over 200 from the sweet potato. Well, again, wow. He would ask God questions and God would answer him. Mm-hmm. And so he was a wise person, but more than that, he was wise enough to ask God for wisdom and insight. And God gave him all kinds of wisdom because he asked.
I love it. I love that. What is that from a book?
Well, the name of the book that specific quote came from was a book by a man named Glenn Park called The Man Who Talks with the Flowers. It's about Dr. George Washington Carver.
Can I just add this? Mm-hmm. Men, you guys can be prayer warriors too. Because
right.
I feel like I know for me, when I think of a prayer warrior, I think of a woman. But really, the first prayer warrior was Jesus.
Praise the Lord.
And so, I mean, men, you all should be the primary leaders of that.
You know, I believe it's wise for every believer to strive to become a mighty prayer warrior
right.
for God. Men and women, boys and girls
right.
as well. You know, some children can become wonderful prayer warriors as they're taught and trained to do the same as well.
Right. You don't have to wait till you're old. Not that old is a bad thing, but I'm just saying you can do it now.
That's praying. Right. Well, at whatever age you might be, now is a good time
to start.
It's
never too late.
So. Well, Victor, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you, Pastor Parker. This has been good.
And I want to remind our listeners again, if you'd like to get a copy of the prayer tool, Kingdom Prayers, simply email me at jparker@afa.net. We'd be glad to send it to you. Again, jparker@afa.net. Remember to pray for your prayer life. Pray the prayer of Jabez over your prayer life every day. Pray for God to anoint it and prosper it and help you to become the prayer warrior He wants you to be. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.